is Patsy with a Z. Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am so looking forward to talking to my next guest, Patricia Bonus. Oh, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Well, hello. Are you there?
I'm Patricia? Here. I've been listening to that marvelous interview with the vet. I love it. I wrote down her book. I'm going to buy it.
You have to buy it. It is so good. It's so funny. Oh, the adventures she has had. So, Patricia, how do I pronounce your last name?
Bonus.
Bonus. Patricia Bonus.
Yeah, like, and the name, like the B-O-N-U-S and it's the B-O-N-I-S.
And you are a bonus. That's it. Mm-hmm. And the name of your book is Jedha Bride. I want to tell you, I am so impressed with this book. Wow. I love that your daughter made the introduction. So you have to explain this, because this is an amazing story, what you've gone through. And together with what you've put together, it's such a good read. It's just that alone, it makes it worth it. But then your story, you have to explain this, because it's almost too much to believe.
Yeah, it was actually hard to believe the whole time I was living it. I kept thinking, is this real or is this my imagination? Anyway, at college, when I was 18 years old, I met a man. He was from Saudi Arabia. He was also a student. I was at Wellesley. He was at Boston University. And at the time, it was the oil embargo, and there were so many Persians and Arabs and foreign students in Boston. It was, like, fascinating. And we just, all of us students, loved it. We would meet people from different countries, and it was like mixing and matching, and it was great. So we fell in love. And we had a romance. It was like this whirlwind romance. We'd go to Europe and Paris and London, and I'd meet his family. They came to Boston. And it was very exotic and very exciting. And I really was in love. Like, I'd never really felt that way before. He proposed to me. And of course, I said yes. And then the trouble started. First, we found out that the king of Saudi Arabia, at the time King Faisal, would not give permission for him to marry me unless I became a Muslim. And this was a new policy, because they had been having a lot of problems in Saudi with non-Muslim wives that would not obey the laws of the land, which is Islam. So I said, what am I going to do? I love him so much. I guess I'll change. It was very easy to do, because Islam is a religion where they like bringing new people in. It's very easy to become a Muslim. You just say you want to do it and pretty much learn the prayer and you're accepted. I did that. And the family was overjoyed. They thought I was fantastic. I got on a plane and I flew to Saudi Arabia. And that's, I was really shocked. It was, people see all the Saudis and all the people from the Middle East in the West, and they're wearing like fancy Italian clothes and going around buying good champagne and eating and this and that and having fun and discos and whatever at the time. And when you get to that country, you realize it's so primitive. It's like being in a Ben-Hur movie.
Biblical times. Okay, well, let's
wearing rags. Yeah.
Let's take a step back so we can explain to people your background, because you're a typical American girl. Where did you come from, and what kind of life did you have before you went off to college and your whole world changed?
Yeah. Okay, I grew up in New York, in Long Island.
Oh, my goodness.
A suburb called Sands Point. It was a very pretty, countrified. We were on the water. We did water skiing and sailboats and horses. And I was a good student. I had strict family, Italian-American background, very strict. I think that's what I was rebelling against. I broke free with that marriage of mine. And I was just happy-go-lucky in every which way and trusting. And my parents had taken me on some trips. We'd been to Europe a few times. I was fascinated by languages and culture and different cultures. But I'd never been to a real cultural shock until I got to Saudi Arabia.
And so here you were, a typical American teen. You went to high school. You went to the prom.
Yes, I did all of that, yes.
And then you land up, so you get married. You got married in the States before you went there? Or you?
No, we got married in Saudi Arabia.
And did your family come with you to see you at the wedding?
Okay, yes. Okay, it was a two-part marriage. In the Islamic religion, they have, the marriage isn't a big deal. It's almost like what we do here. You go to City Hall and you sign papers, you get your marriage license, and then you have the party. And then people call that your wedding day. But actually, you got married a few days ago when you got your wedding, your marriage license with the state. That's what they do there, too. First, we were married by the ambassador, and he just signed. Everyone signed. I don't know that I signed. I think I must have, but I think I did sign. But all the men of the family were signing, and so then I was actually married. But then we had the party, and that was in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah, and my family did attend. They flew over. In the book, it describes how I called them. I said, look, I just got married, and you've got to come. And you're coming in 2 weeks. Get your ticket. You've got to come. You've got to do this. I got married. You have to come. You have to be at my wedding. And my mom and dad, I'm sure I probably gave them a heart attack, but they got my two sisters together, and they all flew to Saudi Arabia to attend my wedding. And I described that, and it was the traditional. They have their kind of music, and they have all the servants in the marching parade with bangle bracelets and making that sound, the sound that they make. And it was really very, I don't know how my parents lived through it, to be honest.
I was good. Yeah. For Italian Americans, that was a big cultural shock.
I know. I think, again, I really can't overestimate. I'm telling you, I was very rebellious. I had been raised very strict, and I wanted to break free. And I
did. You broke through. Whoa.
Yeah. I did. And this is one lesson that my book should teach parents that are strict and that are pushing all this stuff down there in America. Don't do it. Don't be too strict because you produce a rebellious child. I was so rebellious, and it's really a shame. I would not have done that if I didn't have such a feeling of breaking away. I can tell you that. So that's part of my own personal thing. I learned that in therapy later. I didn't know. But it's true. Don't be too strict with your kids because they're going to end up really wanting to run.
But there you were in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. You were in love. You were ecstatic.
Yeah.
You had a new husband. And then there's so many stories in this book that
I know.
Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're sad. I love when you talk about having maids and they're so cheap.
I know. There was just so much to tell. It was like going to Alice in Wonderland or something, going through the looking glass. Truly, I couldn't believe it was so different. Like everything that you do, you can't. People want to boil it down to, oh, did you have to wear a covering on your head? Oh, believe me, that was not even the beginning of what you had to do and what you had to experience. The stonings and like everything, the food, the people, the way you had to behave socially, what you could talk about, what you couldn't talk. It was all pervasive. It was the most rigid place I'd ever been to. And it was very hard, even for the men, I think. Everybody had a lot of rigid rules they had to follow. And it was scary. It became scarier and scarier as I witnessed things like a husband that wrapped his children and his wife in electrical cord and electrocuted her because he thought she had committed adultery. And I went to that funeral and he didn't get arrested.
Okay.
He left town. Because his wife was cheating, he had the right to do that.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just the shock of it. And let's take another step back. So you met your husband in America, and
yes.
he didn't tell you about any of this. He's just a regular American student, right? He was in school.
That's right.
Yeah. He seemed like a regular American. So they,
yes.
You had no idea. What was he like when you met him?
Absolutely no idea. What was he like? He was good looking, beautifully dressed, gorgeous sports car. He had been in England his whole life at boarding school. He had a British accent. In fact, when I first heard his voice, I looked up. I'm like, whoa, he doesn't look like Prince Charles, but he sounds like him. What is this? Who is this person? And I was like, where are you from? And he says, Saudi Arabia. I'm like, oh, my God, do they speak like that in Saudi Arabia? The British accent? And he's, no, I went to boarding school in England my whole life. So there it was like I was marrying a dark-complexioned British guy. That's what I thought. And he had never really lived in his own country. He could hardly write Arabic. He spoke beautifully, but he could barely write because he had not been educated in that country. So I didn't think that this I knew that there would be a culture clash, but I didn't think that he'd be the one shoving it at me. I just figured he'd shield me, maybe. That's what I assumed. Maybe he'll make it easier for me. But that didn't happen.
But so when you met him, you were going on dates like a regular American? You went on dates, you danced, you socialized?
Yeah. Yes, everything. Oh, everything. In fact, yes. Restaurants, going, every place we went, we had tons of friends, mutual friends. He had all his friends dating my sisters, my friends. We would get together all the time. And then when I graduated, I would go, he was older, he graduated before I did. He would fly back and take me places. Like he was working, he'd say, oh, I have a job in Texas. We have to go to Port Neches to look at boats, ships. And I flew. It was like everything. We'd meet Americans in business. Everything was like being with a normal Western guy. I just figured it would be okay being married to him.
But when you arrive there, you find out that it's not the same way. He's not taking
it's
you out
not.
On dates like this anymore.
No dates. The law at the time was women cannot go into a restaurant. If you're a lady and you would go into, even if you're covered up, they'll arrest you. No women in restaurants. So there were no restaurants, and there were actually not even any restaurants, just in the hotels. And you couldn't walk in the street. You wouldn't want to because it was 110 degrees, and you had to be covered all in black. When if you did walk, you walked from the car to the door, in through the door of the shop. And there were a few times when I went to the old souk, which you read stories about Morocco, people go there, they go to Marrakesh, and they're going to the old souk, and they buy these fabulous robes and rugs and pillows and hands. No, there was nothing like that in Saudi Arabia. You didn't go anywhere. You really just didn't go anywhere. You stayed in your house.
Okay, so when you get there, he hadn't told you all this before you got there?
No, he really didn't. He didn't.
Okay, so he obviously had some change of personality, but but then at one point you guys came back to America, so you thought you were going to be living an American life again, and you had children.
Of course.
Your children were born here in America, two of your children.
Yes, they were. Washington, D.C., my son Kareem and my daughter Sultana, both born in Georgetown Hospital in Washington, D.C., and we were living there. He had gone to law school at Georgetown. He actually took a job briefly at a law firm, and I thought, oh, thank God. I started working as an interior designer. He was a lawyer. We had two children. Okay, this is going to work out. But for some reason, he just couldn't, I don't know, he just couldn't keep on track. I think maybe it's all the money. It corrupts you or something. He started playing polo. And then there was a lot of cheating and infidelities, which I think were happening all along. And it just got worse and worse. It never got better.
So how did you go back again? What happened?
No.
What happened with...
We never returned to live in Saudi. Once we left, we never returned. Okay. We went to Washington, D.C., and then to make matters worse, we couldn't even stay there. He decided he wanted to go to live in England now, so we had to uproot the children, uproot me. I could no longer work and buy a house in England and live there, and he no longer worked either, and all he did was play polo and socialize, and sometimes with me, sometimes without me, but there was definitely a lot of infidelity going on there, too. So then, and then he dragged me to Florida. He didn't want to be in England anymore, and he came back, and we were living in Wellington, Florida. And if you can believe it, that's where I live today, in the same neighborhood that I that took place when I finally decided to leave him. And so,
well, when that happened, how did what happened to the children? How did he get the children?
Okay, this is the really this is a part that I really like to talk about, because people, it's another thing people don't realize, and it's about our own country too. Basically, we filed for divorce. I filed because I, there'd been a woman living in my house when I'd taken my children to visit my parents, and my neighbor told me when I got back that she's been living in your house for 2 weeks with your husband. So I was like, okay, this is getting really bad. So I accused him, and he said, look, I'm Saudi. I can marry four women if I want.
Which, oh,
can you imagine
nice.
You catch your husband cheating, and instead of saying, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, they say, oh, I'm allowed to. I can marry her if I want. I'm like, yes, you can, but I won't be your wife then. That's okay. Let's just get divorced. And I decided he's nuts. I'm divorcing. So I filed for divorce, and I didn't really feel comfortable living in Florida. I decided that I would take my children and go live back in Washington, D.C., where I did have employment. I had my old partner and my career as an interior designer. I thought, I can support my kids. I don't need anything from him. So I took the kids and left, and I went to live in Washington, D.C., and filed a divorce and started litigation. Our court system awarded him unsupervised visitation. I fought for 1 year. They were ready to put me in jail. They said, you're in contempt of court. You can't do this. You're going to forfeit seeing your children. You must relinquish your children and give them to him unsupervised. And I just didn't know what to do. And it got to the point where my lawyer said to me, listen, Patricia, you're making this so difficult. We can't cut a deal with him. We can't negotiate until you let him see his children. He says, I think it's his ego. He's got to be able to see his children. And so what I did, I put them on the plane, ages 2 and 4, and with the nanny, and they flew to Florida and went to our house that we had there and stayed with him. Within 24 hours, he had taken them, put them in the car, drove to the airport, jumped in an airplane, took off, and I didn't see them for 14 years.
Oh, gosh. It's so heartbreaking. When I got to that part in the book, I started crying. I just started crying. It's written. I tell you, this book is written. It's so beautifully written. And I started crying. And even now, when I think about it, it's just so shocking.
I know. And I can't. Sometimes I can't even read it out loud. Like I'll go to a book launch party or a signing, and I can't read any of those parts out loud. I still cry. I can't even. The scene where I pulled up at the airport and I took the kids and I knew I put them on the plane and
I had
to say goodbye to them. And I'm looking. That was the last I saw of my children until they were
14 years.
My son,
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what they made you do.
And this country could not help me. I went to the State Department. I thought, they have no treaties with Saudi Arabia. There's no extradition treaty. There's no domestic law treaty. There's no nothing. Nobody could help me. They just rolled their eyes at me. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
And that's the really shocking thing for me.
I think this book is really important. It's called Jeddah Bride, and it's a memoir. And it's written by Patricia Bonas. And I'm glad you're getting out there. I'm glad that you're really promoting this book. Get this book out. There are so many young women who do fall into this trap. it's a kind of seduction, and then it can turn out into being so disastrous. And there are many wives who did not get out of it, and they are still there with their children, because it's just so difficult. And as you said, there are no agreements, which I think is absolutely terrible. The United States has the power to put these together. Patricia, I'm sorry we don't have any more time, but I'm so glad that you came on the program. You are a remarkable woman. The book is beautifully written, and I'm glad that things are working out for you now. But I thank you for joining me, and I will help promote this book. And really, God bless you for doing this, because I hope it will help other women to face the facts and be prepared.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you. And thank you for reading the book before you spoke with me, too. That really helped get a juicy conversation going.
It's beautifully written. And your daughter, who helped you with it and sat with you and did this, also fantastic, fantastic. So, again, thank you for joining me. Bye-bye now.
Patricia, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Okay.
And get this book, Jenna Bride. It's a great read. It's just, as a book, it's just a great read. Thank you, Patricia. Bye-bye now.